All right, so we have a latest episode of Inside Out. Who are you, sir?
My name's Bart Elia.
Uh-huh.
And I work for Epicor.
Epicor. What do you guys do?
Mid-market ERP. We do some retail as well now since we...
ERP, could you explain that?
Enterprise Resource Planning. Huh. So CRM, manufacturing, financials, shipping distribution. Now we moved into retail.
Mm-hmm.
We purchased a company like everybody in ERP is buying everybody these days.
So interesting.
We purchased a company a couple of years ago now. They're fully integrated. So
excellent. And CRM, of course, is customer relationship management.
Customer relationship management, field service.
So you guys are database heavy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All
everything
right.
We do is persisting data in the back end. So
uh-huh.
Obviously a lot of SQL Server tie-ins there and stuff. A lot of distributed applications with all the different silos of information. So we're always concerned about how to distribute that app around the world, because it's where the customers deploy is all around the world.
Interesting. So, I mean, one of the things that's kind of interesting about a company that provides software for multiple domains,
yes,
is what you guys do.
Absolutely.
You have to have some sort of an intimate, at least an intellectual level, relationship with your domain experts, the companies you're writing software for, right? You have to understand what they need.
And also you get some feedback of that within your own company as well.
Mm.
Rolling out our professional services automation product, we obviously have a lot of professional services people installing and customizing the software all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So utilizing that, our financials to keep the books, So, yeah, we do get into a lot of, self-use dog fooding, which is something very familiar to Microsoft, of course.
Sure.
So that's something that we've done and used for years as well.
Cool. Now, what's your platform like? I mean, you mentioned SQL on the back end. I mean, what else are you guys doing?
Oh, lots of products. This is ERP. So ERP has been all about consolidation and purchasing and buying each other and integrating over the last 5 years here. You guys went through it with Dynamics.
Uh-huh.
And all the different parts of that.
Sure.
So a lot of what we've been doing is absorbing and borrowing the best from each and integrating and building a common platform.
Hmm.
About 7 years ago, 8 years ago, we took a bet on this little thing that might play out called .NET. And
sure.
So we've been moving.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. So we've been playing with .NET for a long time. We had three different projects going on beta 1 that were writing production code. So we made a major bet on .NET.
Interesting. Now, may I ask, historically, why?
Why did we?
Yeah, why?
What I talked about a minute ago about the distributed nature of things.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about services 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important to us to start getting off the client-server domain and start thinking about how we can deal with the integration stories that are problems to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through... We went through and started figuring out, what's the best way to do things. We needed reach. We needed rich.
Mm-hmm.
Along comes OBA, which is, the latest thing we've been getting into over the last couple of years. So
interesting. Could you talk a little bit about OBA? I'm not super familiar with it.
Office,
of course, I've done a Channel 9 interview on it, but...
That doesn't mean you know anything?
A little bit about it.
Yeah. The first time I really started getting a company, trying to excite the company about this, was kickoff of Office 2003. And starting to see some of the XML stuff coming, because we're big into XML and understand the need for the declarative nature of and description of data and all. And the XML support, it started to appear in 2003 and really appeared in 2007, especially with the new file format stuff. That combined with the Visual Studio tools for Office that finally came along, a couple of years ago.
Mm.
And now we could go ahead and start taking some of the assets that we have as far as our knowledge of our data entities and our business entities and their interrelationships and the actions you can perform on those, pulling those offline into an Office document so you can do cool things within Outlook when you're doing desktop, management type things. So salesperson managing their calls, their contacts, mm-hmm, address information, simple stuff like that.
Absolutely.
You can do all that stuff in Outlook and push a button and recognize that, or push a button and send some information to the back-end system so they can do their, log their calls and their call notes about visiting a customer,
mm-hmm,
right within Outlook and have it sync up to the back-end system.
Mm-hmm.
relate things. I mean, you'd be on an email that came in from a certain customer and either look at in relationship to, you know, is this customer have a problem with their invoices or support calls or, you know, background information on them and, you know, drill around between those different things. Mm-hmm. Also, you can go ahead and, like I said, you know, from that email, you know, log that email directly into a call. Okay. So those kinds of things. You know, Excel. What do you do in Excel? All the different analytics and data mining and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You've had some of those kinds of things you can do right now when you get data connections from the web, from a database, things like that. Mm-hmm. But that's not exactly the easiest interface to deal with. And you get into security issues, and is the data correctly described, and is the security correct on it, and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So we have that plumbed in through, you know, our security, you know, layers and our business entities that we describe from our data aggregation. And so now you get basically the techie, that's a bunch of techie garbage.
That's
basically
good techie garbage, though. We're a techie site.
Well, I mean, so you get all those nice security features and all that stuff, but it makes for a very easy experience either as an analyst going ahead and establishing a template, whether it be Word or Excel, mm-hmm. or you get an end-user experience that's really simple, but which is just, you know, import, you know, the one option, like the demo we were showing here at the Platform System Review was, you know, import, you know, resource plan. Mm-hmm. And it would give you, you know, an overcapacity plan for a particular set of machinery. And it's, you know, one, two clicks, you mm-hmm. know, for the user to go ahead and do a little bit of KPI. To build the template wasn't much harder. You just, you know, pick and choose which entities you want to pull offline, any relationships you want to pull offline, and it fills in the blanks using the custom XML web parts, custom XML parts within the Office docs. And so we do some cool little things there.
Excellent. So this is exploiting Office 2007.
This is, yeah. We did do some stuff with Office 2003, mm-hmm. but Outlook 2003 was a little bit sluggish. There's some new APIs that you can actually do some real work. I mean, some of the APIs took our item load times from 1.1 second to less than a tenth of a second.
Nice.
So there were some real nice improvements on the APIs there.
Good.
So, you know, that and just the new content controls within Word made that a really nice experience for users. Mm-hmm. A lot of this comes down to can things be done? Sure. Mm-hmm. How easy is it for the development team to do it? Mm-hmm. How easy is it for it to be deployed? How easy is it to be managed by the customer? How nice is it for end users to play with?
Sure.
So there's a lot of soft touch.
Okay, so, I mean, but, you know, you're a real person. I mean, you're really here.
Yeah.
And you don't work for Microsoft. But you're not part of our marketing machine.
No.
So I would ask you, in all candor, you know, are you finding that it's easy to develop using these technologies? Are you finding that your productivity has increased? Are you finding
from the Office standpoint, definitely the VSTO stuff I just love, and people harass me about that because
they do.
Yeah, well, I got a couple of quotes in the OBA literature that's out there when they did the case study, and the only thing they picked out after talking to them for an hour and a half, four different times, and they pick out, mm-hmm. you know, what I said about VSTO for the whole 2 hours or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the tools are definitely better because Office has been around forever.
True.
And the APIs are a bit to pick up on if you haven't been playing in that space for 10 years.
Certainly.
And so that's one of the struggles of somebody coming new to this game. They need better abstractions. Otherwise, the project's just not going to give the return on investment that, you know, people want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, business people, for some reason, want to make money on things.
Obviously. Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's strange. Of course, we're
and getting developers want to get paid. I mean, yeah. Come on.
Unless it's .com all over again, which, you know, that went. But, yeah, so being, you know, the stakeholders in the business, you know, stakeholders can go ahead and say, okay, I can see that you can do this. Mm-hmm. It is valuable. It's a reasonable amount of time. Mm-hmm. And plus, I mean, the knowledge set coming in from, since we have a lot of .NET developers, mm-hmm. The knowledge, taking that abilities and moving it into the OBA domain wasn't as bad.
Sure.
One of the mantras the guys internal at my company get a little irritated with me sometimes. I go on and on about is no throwaway knowledge. I hate having to do one-off things.
Sure.
And the fact that we've got a more consistent platform, you know, from the rich client stuff into the office stuff now goes ahead and makes it a lot easier for us to, you know, pick up and run with this stuff as opposed to, okay, let's stop and go to 3 weeks training here and struggle for, you know, 6 weeks. And, oh, well, and that, by the way, now we can go ahead and start to really do development, you know, 2-3 months down the line.
So what's your role at Epicord? I mean, what do you do there?
I've done a few things. Over the last few years, what I've been doing is I work in a group that was research and is now architecture and strategy, I believe, is the official title now.
Huh.
It's a small group. We have four guys. And go out and take a look at what's going on in the market and what our customers need.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the abilities that we use a lot in our group is having the understanding of the technology business interface.
Mm.
And figuring out, you know, what makes sense in a business standpoint, both what people need solved as well as what we can make money off of course, or solve in a profitable way would probably be a more politically correct way of saying it. But I mean that's the whole idea, is trying to cross that divide of having a technology that might be cool technically, but, you know, doesn't make you any money, doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to use our knowledge in that kind of domain.
Mm.
Come up with what's pragmatic and do prototypes, figure out how to get it to market. And in some cases, we step in, and I was an acting development manager for, I don't know, 9 months a year to try to get our
nice.
So for about a year to get our office product off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then turned it back over to the development teams, and they can continue to run with it.
Cool.
So it kind of depends on what we're tasked with.
Yeah, I mean, do you play around with, like, new technologies that we throw out there?
Oh, yeah, we're Global Gold partners and all that kind of stuff with Microsoft, so we're in on tons of apps and
like
all
why
that kind of stuff.
Do you think, I mean, the reason you chose to be a partnership with Microsoft, I mean, what are some of the reasons? Just curious.
Well, we've been a Microsoft shop long before I started with the company. Yeah. One of the things, I mean, we've been with, you know, Fox Pro and SQL Server way back when. So there's been a strong Microsoft relationship way back when.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember where our early SQL Server, I mean, a lot of T-SQL, I think, in around the 6.5 time frame and stuff like that.
Nice.
But as we've done acquisitions, too, they've mostly been in the Microsoft domain.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll have a subset of technology and another platform that, so we either, you know, encapsulate it or embrace it as need be.
Mm-hmm.
But since that's one of the nice things about Microsoft being more open and integratable over the last 5 years, it's actually made that very nice.
Yeah. So you think we've gotten more open and integratable in the past 5 years?
It's been interesting the last year because you guys were so open with Vista and Longhorn and stuff like that, and there was delays, obviously, for, you know, mm-hmm. obvious reasons, that it seems like you guys pulled back just a hair on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, you know, bad, but there seems to be a little bit more. We don't want to quite embarrass ourselves as much as we did, kind of almost, and that's just interactions with individuals.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just more like you guys feel bad that you misled us or told us to jump on things too early.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's in a bad way. It's just that I think you guys are being a little more smart about, you know, doing it. Just another step of due diligence before coming to market with a lot of things.
Yeah, with bringing you into what's going on inside the mothership.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys are so broad, mm-hmm. do so many things, it just keeps people's head spinning.
Yeah.
You know, doing something like, you know, Silverlight, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Threw it out there. It's now, I believe it's GA on the 1X, but I'm, you know, I don't care about the 1X because I'm not in the media side. I'm more in the line of business side. So I need, give me a text box, give me a grid, give me a ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need those kinds of things. So we can't really embrace a new technology to solve a couple of problems until we have those kinds of tools.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys gave us enough of a leeway now that, you know, 1.1's out there in beta and there'll be a refresh next year and those kinds of things. You've got to give us basic ideas
mm-hmm.
on what's coming. So that's okay.
True.
So
how do you go about, I mean, we, you know, though we don't get credit for it often, we are relatively innovative.
Mm-hmm.
When we, you know, market our innovations appropriately or intelligently.
Yeah.
So how do you go about deciding which new Microsoft innovation you think will work for your business and for your developers?
There's no science there. That is the key and the hard part about it. Mm-hmm. I've been really lucky. I've pretty much bet correctly on most things over the last, you know, 5-6 years. But even so, when you're designing something, architecting something, you need to take that into account. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a real simple example. I was working on a CRM system 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and this newfangled .NET thing, mm-hmm. and web services. I wasn't sure about how web services were going to work for us. Mm-hmm. Were they going to be fast enough, et cetera? Or at least maybe I'd want to do some options, or maybe it'd evolve. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make network layer pluggable, mm-hmm. so I can go ahead and, you know, swap it out and put something else in. So the whole network transport layer was abstracted away, and app developers didn't know, you know, what was going on. They just called a method, and something magically happened and lit up on the server. Never needed to. It was fast enough. Mm-hmm. Always was curious if I could go back in and swap out, you know, web service for .NET remoting or now WCF. You know, what would that give me in a performance cost, mm-hmm. or excuse me, performance increase? But never did go through the due diligence. It wasn't the bottleneck.
Sure.
So it's just risk management. So taking a look at the technologies, taking a look at a common sense approach to utilizing the technologies, mm-hmm. And every once in a while making a leap of faith.
Sure. So now, that's a great answer. It makes sense. Now that we're in this, you know, software plus services revolution,
yes.
or I guess it's a revolution.
Evolution.
Where services, you know, and companies like Google have done a great job of showing the importance of service-oriented business, right? Making money on advertisement.
I don't know. They've done definitely services when you look at especially like their Office app type stuff that they've done and Gmail, et cetera. Actually, I think their biggest mess that they've made is confusion or new thing, depending upon your statement there. Mm-hmm. What they've done that's more disruptive, that's a term I should have been
disruptive, that famous term,
is probably just their revenue model and the ad model, mm-hmm. over licensing or subscription, mm-hmm. or transaction-based. Mm-hmm. I think that's more the disruptive thing that they brought to the market. I think services, you can look to, I mean, Google's not to be diminished, but I mean, I look at Amazon, I look to Salesforce.com.
Good point.
And those are more Amazon and their storage engine and app development environment and stuff like that they have that you can, you know, sign up for and grab. I mean, those are really, to me, big services. There's lots of little startup companies doing, you know, hosted development sites that
sure.
It's blown my.
And then, of course, we have like Windows Live and the stuff that. Yeah. They're doing over there that we aren't quite sure what it is yet. Popfly,
yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, those kinds of things. So I think there's a lot of different things that are appearing all over the place. It's not just. I mean, Google's the big kid on the block, so they have the big target on their forehead, just like you guys have had for years. So
mm-hmm. No, we still have it.
Oh yeah.
So I would ask you. I mean, so I guess what I was going to ask with that question was, what's Epicor doing in the services age? Are you thinking about that? I mean,
About
CRM on the net? And
well, I can't talk to everything.
Of course not.
Because
but what you can talk to.
What I can talk to is obviously something we're looking at.
Yeah.
One of the things that you look at in the service space, mm-hmm. is what role do you want to play? Do you want to be playing a vendor that supplies the services or supplies the platform? Mm-hmm. Supplies the data center. I look at Salesforce.com, and I'm a bit prejudiced because we compete against them, so I look at their functionality. It's okay. There's nothing bad or great about it to me. It's just okay. Mm-hmm. But they have a beautiful data center. I mean, they have, 250, 350 millisecond data center. Mm-hmm. And that is incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys are going through that pain right now of building out data centers and dropping a couple of billion to mm-hmm. build data centers all over the world. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's the value that a Salesforce.com brings to market. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if Epicor wants to play in that market.
Yeah.
But the rest of the services stuff is providing the stuff that runs on top. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the thing that, that's the value that a customer signs up for. They'll pay you for being able to track this or automate that. Mm-hmm. They don't pay you for the data center. To me, that's becoming more and more of a commodity. So that's one of the ways I look at that. I look at, you're not stuck with AOL as your internet service provider anymore. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of choices for, for communication. I think there's plenty of choices for services platforms that are evolving and growing out there as well.
Absolutely.
So you take a look at what you do best, and I think we've developed enterprise software best, so that's probably where I'd say we're probably looking at.
Excellent. Well, hey, I always like to end these interviews for Inside Out with getting some feedback from you.
Excuse me.
Some honest feedback. What do you like? How's our platform working for you? What should we be doing better? We live in the trenches with our stuff. We're in an ivory tower.
Yeah, a couple of different things that I struggle with is when you get out onto the web, which is where a lot of us is going. There is improvements there with Silverlight going more cross-platform on the client. I'm glad to see that Microsoft's acknowledging that, because it's something that to me is a very limiting factor that I can't turn around and totally embrace some of the different technology you guys have at the client level, because I'm limited by that cross-browser, cross-platform kind of thing. So I think that's critical for you guys to go ahead and support. Mm-hmm. And it all starts with tools, and your tools have to support everything end-to-end, which is your frameworks and your runtimes and everything else. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see that going in. That's the thing that really is key to me there. It's a good start, and now it's, we need a couple of projects under our belt to flush out the details of the type of support you have or not. Mm-hmm. ASP.NET, for example, when we looked at that, was rather limiting in certain areas. Mm-hmm. Especially at the one, I mean, we started at 1.0, so we went out and had to build our own DHTML stack from raw JavaScript, which was kind of painful, but a very, very effective platform when we were done. Mm. We went to all your IE guys, and they were amazed at some of those things we had done. But that was a lot more work than I would have liked it to be. So I think you guys recognize that, made a lot of improvements with 2.0 and AJAX, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I think you guys are going the right direction. I think the biggest thing is I hear you guys listening more,
Interesting.
That was a classic.
That's a good one.
I hear you guys listening more.
Yeah.
And that's really, to me, the big difference. I see, APIs and things you're delivering that are all pluggable now. Mm-hmm. You guys think about customization and pluggability in a lot more places than ever before, which is wonderful for us, because we have a whole chain of plugging in at different levels that we have to deal with, because we plug into your stuff, then VARs or professional services plug into what we deliver, and then customers might need to tweak that as well. So we have this whole daisy chain of changes that could potentially pop in, and that can be at almost any level.
Sure.
And so that becomes very challenging, especially when you matrix that across the versioning problems of trying to deal with those kinds of things. But the fact that you guys give us some hooks in the first place is a start.
Excellent.
So, yeah, it's fun. It's definitely entertaining.
Great. Well, hey, it sounds like you guys do some great stuff, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and Channel 9 and Microsoft. And good luck.
Thank you.
And keep the feedback coming.
Oh, I'm definitely annoying that way.
All right. Excellent. Take care.
Thanks.